You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Wednesday, 25 August. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb studios in Houghton, Johannesburg. On the show today, chatting with Nesan Nair, there's an international trading update and maybe some glimmer signs in the unemployment in the construction sector. Talking unemployment, we'll be chatting with Martin Ackerman from Citadel on that unemployment. It is structural. It's totally structural. How do we fix it? Can we fix it? And then we're talking dividends, global dividends. Miners top the dividend mining dividend tables, but dividends are bouncing back and expected to be at pre-pandemic levels by next year. The show is brought to you by StanLib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Some morning headlines from CNBC. China's cyberspace regulatory lays out two main conditions for companies wanting to go public. One is to adhere to national laws and regulations. Fair enough. The other is ensuring the security of the national network and critical information infrastructure and personal data. Personal data, that might be the key point there. Business Day, Dis-Chem founder sells shares and names new CEO. So the CFO will be taking over, no date for it. He plans to sell 7.5% of his shares, but not in the open market. He's selling it to individuals and to key staff. He, of course, Alvin Saltzman, has been there since, was it 78 when he founded Dis-Chem. Morning markets, S&P up 0.2 overnight and NASDAQ up 0.3. Asia also green with Sydney up 0.2. Tokyo is up literally 1 point. Commodities red overnight, gold 17.96. Rand about 10 cents stronger in the last 24 hours, 15.05. Top 40 looking for about a 160-point red open. That's 0.25% down. That as 10 cent trade down 0.08%.
MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Checking now with Nesan Nair, Portfolio Manager, Sasfin Securities. Nesan, morning. Appreciate the early morning. The Sun International came out with an update just on the close, 5 p.m., so I'm not sure how the market's going to take it. My sense is, I mean, they're still going to be reporting a loss, although a markedly improved loss, about 90% better than the previous period. The worst is probably behind them. Is this a stock worth having a look at for that reopened trade?
Yeah, good morning, Simon. I think if you look at the trading update, more or less very similar to what we've been seeing sort of across the board, you know, for many companies that have been reporting in the last 2 weeks. And as expected, you know, last year, the first 6 months was pretty horrific, I think, for anybody involved in the leisure, entertainment, retail, even the banking industry as well. So you would expect to see, you know, a big sort of a change in fortunes, you know, measured from that low base last year coming into this year. To answer your question, is it the right time to get in? You know, I suppose it depends on how patient you are. I don't think, you know, that it's going to get any worse. I think you hit the nail on the head there. I think the worst is over for a lot of these guys. But, you know, if you look at Sun International and Sogo, Sun International, you know, came into this pandemic having to reorganize their business quite substantially. You know, they made that big investment in Pretoria and in Maine, over $4 billion. They were carrying a lot of debt. They had to do a rights issue. So lots more work, I think, to take place at the likes of the Sun International, potentially lots more upside as well. But I think if you want to play a reopening trade, for me, the one to look at would be Sogo. I think Sogo is probably more geared towards benefiting, you know, from the lower lockdown restrictions, you know, that we're probably going to see in the next 12 to 18 months than Sun is right now.
Okay, Soko, I like that. And I take your point around the patience. A quick last question. Unemployment data out yesterday, horror numbers. Delving into it, we saw for the first time in some time, construction actually increased their employment levels. Is this a data point I can get excited about, or am I getting a little bit ahead of myself?
No, I think you're right there, Simon. I think this is potentially a green shoot. You know, if you look at overall construction activity, mm-hmm. And maybe it's spurred on by this whole work from home, but, you know, even if you look at construction materials prices, steel, you know, aggregates, etc., they're slowly starting to pick up, which shows that there is, I think, fundamental demand coming into the construction sector, maybe even spurred on by the residential sector for the time being. But I must say, still very much green shoots territory we're in right now. So, again, you know, moderate your expectations in terms of timelines as well. But I think you are right. I think we are setting ourselves up for a much more improved construction environment.
Yeah, I can moderate myself. I'm not so much young anymore, but I'm still patient. I can give it some time. Nelson Nair, Portfolio Manager, Sasfin Securities. Appreciate the early morning.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement, and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Chatting with Jane Shoemake from Janice Henderson, Client Portfolio Manager on Global Equity Income. Talking global dividends, Jane, appreciate the time. Evidence is strong. I mean, evidence is there. Global dividends are back. We've seen a over 26% bounce year on year. We're only 6.8% below second quarter of 2019 levels. It's been a strong bounce, and you're expecting dividends back to pre-pandemic levels by next year?
Yeah, absolutely. I think we've been surprised and pleased by the strength of the bounce back. And I think if you look at the recent corporate earnings numbers we've seen out of both the US and Europe, where we've had so many surprises, generally, you know, over 84% of companies in the US exceeded expectations with earnings. You can see that that is feeding through to confidence and management feeling like that they can sort of see their way through some of the COVID issues. They're dealing with them, and that's given them the confidence to start paying back their dividends again.
Yeah, I mean, this has been, I mean, there's a difference this time compared to 08, 09, the financial crisis then. Banks have got capital this time. Central bankers are continuing to provide that support, and that kind of underpins that bounce, and I suppose adds to the earnings and the confidence from management.
Yeah, I think, you know, what we've seen in the COVID and the pandemic is we saw an incredibly severe locking down of the global economy, mm-hmm. basically, but then huge and unprecedented levels of fiscal and monetary support. And that has underpinned the confidence a little bit. And I think also that corporates have navigated their way through the pandemic better than we anticipated a year ago, and that the cash flow generally has been better in terms of what they've managed to generate. So this is what is now allowing them to say, well, we can see how we're going to continue to manage our businesses, mm-hmm. despite still some of the uncertainty they face. And that they feel strong enough, as I said, and confident enough to return some of that cash back to their shareholders. And companies generally don't want to start repaying dividends unless they think they can sustain them and continue to pay them and, in fact, even grow them. And so I feel quite confident that from where we are now, we are going to reach those pre-pandemic highs within the next 12 to 18 months.
Yeah, I take your point in that. You don't want to stop dividends. It's fine if you stop them because of a pandemic, but don't then start and have to take the foot off the pedal. Emerging markets, I mean, how's that bounce coming back in terms of the EM world?
It's interesting, actually. Emerging markets, we didn't see the same level of cuts. So last year, at the height of the pandemic, we saw Europe and the UK in particular, and Australia actually, mm-hmm. see very sharp cuts to their dividend payments. And we saw a lot of regulatory interference in the banks and some of the insurers, which was something we didn't see in the global financial crisis so much. But what it has been interesting is that emerging markets didn't cut preemptively. So in the UK and in Europe, we had some people just going, look, we don't know what's going to happen, yeah. here. We're just going to stop our payments till we have some clarity. Emerging markets generally have waited for their profits to be announced at the beginning of this year and then said, yeah, profits were impacted last year. Now we're going to pay back our dividends. So if you like, there's a slight lagged effect in emerging markets from where the preemptive cuts we saw in the UK and Europe.
Sectors, I mean, have there been standout sectors? I mean, obviously there's those that are, I mean, leisure is still under pressure, even as parts of the world open and get vaccinated. Have there been sectors that have really stood out and bounced stronger and perhaps already ahead of 2019?
Mining, I want to, our report shows that in the second quarter, mining stocks have been absolutely phenomenal. And, you know, in South Africa, you clearly have a strong affinity with the, some of the mining companies within your stock market. But BHP, Rio's, Anglo's have not only just announced good dividends, their normal dividends, they've announced some special dividends and they've announced share buybacks. So there really has been a very strong movement of, you know, some of the money they've generated coming back to shareholders. But that's not surprising. We are seeing some extraordinary commodity prices over the last sort of 12 months and some very high prices. We've seen some of those come off a bit. So I would just warn that they're in a bit of a sweet spot at the moment. Mm-hmm. But we can't always guarantee that's going to continue forever with the mining companies. And they are very clear now that they have a payout ratio that is aligned to their profitability. So if their profitability falls, their dividends might fall, but they have told the market that.
Yeah, some of our second-tier miners at interim stage paid essentially 10% dividend yields as they put out 100% of earnings. A last question. We saw locally in South Africa, our Prudential Authority requested banks not to pay dividends. That's now been lifted. That happened in a number of markets around the world. Have those restrictions / polite requests mostly been lifted around the world in terms of banks and their ability to pay dividends?
Yeah, absolutely. The US, with the recent stress test they had there, the banks all came flying through those stress tests. They was felt that they very much had enough capital for quite some severe scenarios. So we've seen there that, you know, there's no restrictions and they can make share buybacks. We're still in the UK. It was lifted about a month ago, much earlier than we anticipated. We weren't expecting that for a couple more months. So they've been lifted in the UK. We still expect that some of the banks, though, might not go back to paying dividends at their pre-pandemic level. But what we are seeing is they're going to just sort of possibly yield about 3-4% next year is the expectation, but also do some share buybacks. And that isn't silly, given that they're trading below their price to book at the moment. A lot of these banks, they're trading very cheaply. So buying back your shares is actually quite a decent thing to do because your shares are cheap. And then in Australia, they've largely lifted any restrictions. So the only one we're still waiting to hear from is the European regulator, which is expected in the next few weeks, actually.
We'll leave that there. Jane Shoemake, Yanis Henderson, appreciate the time today.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Today now with Martin Ackerman, Chief Economist at Citadel. We had unemployment out yesterday, 34.4%. That's not even looking at the discouraged. That is the headline number in a sense. Worst number on record. Martin, morning. Appreciate the early morning time. Unemployment in South Africa, it's just become completely structural. It's baked into the system. And it kind of reminds me of the inflation in the US in the 70s that required a large amount of bravery and, truthfully, pain to the system to really shake it out. I mean, is that what we need locally? I mean, what is our solution to a horror stat?
Morning, Simon. Yes, you're 100% correct. You know, this is unfortunately part of the structural issues we are dealing with. Obviously, it got worse as a result of COVID, but even if we haven't had COVID, you know, the number would probably still be in the high double digits. And that points to the fact that, yeah, some urgent things needs to be done. So as you said, it's the worst number since we start measuring it. In fact, it is the worst number in the world if you compare that to 82 countries. So, you know, with that background and the fact that the economy is really not getting traction, one needs to ask the question, how long can we avoid further unrest? Because that's the root cause of it, you know, inequality and poverty. So your question about what can be done, I guess the answer to that, and that's been the answer for the last couple of years, is the reforms that we need to make it easier for business to operate, for people, business people locally and abroad to have more confidence to actually reinvest back into the economy. And there's some progress, but it's too slow to actually address this problem. You see, the reality is that if you look at our growth prospects, because growth is the underlying thing that we need to fix, if we look at the growth prospects in the next 3 years, we are pulling back to about 1.5% growth per annum, which are pretty much in line with what we've seen before COVID. And that's the problem, because that growth is in line with the growth in the population. So we're not growing the cake, and therefore there's no way that you're going to reduce unemployment.
And I mean, you mentioned, I mean, we've got the 100 megawatt. That could give some certainty around power supply. I suppose it's issues, it's labor issues, it's DTR. You know, I was thinking last night as prepping for this interview, what department would I need to put you in charge of to resolve this? And it's so many departments. It's labor, it's DTI, it's National Treasury. I mean, this is the giant issue that needs to be resolved by government and cabinet. And we see some talk sometimes, fair enough. We haven't seen action.
Yeah, I think it is about what we call the execution gap. So we have proper macro policies, and the policies are very balanced between, call it pro-growth, pro-business. But also, while we wait for the economy to kick up, there must be some social policies as well, things like social grants, national health insurance, and the likes. So balancing those two, you know, you can keep the ship steady, so to speak, but we need to get to a point where growth can pick up the support that government is providing at this moment, because that's not sustainable. So if we don't get growth, and government needs to keep peace in terms of having social grants and national health insurance, you know, we're going to get to that fiscal cliff sooner than anybody expects. So you're right. You refer to the electricity, the 100 megawatts, selling off some of the SOEs, the ports authorities, redoing of that. You know, if you look at a port like Durban, it's currently ranking at the lowest compared to all ports in the world. And that's just business unfriendly, because that's one of our busiest ports for imports and exports. So if you really want to get the economy going and open the arteries to be pro-growth, that's the kind of things that we need to address. And we can't take as long as we took to build Medupi. So the urgency, I think, is now ringing the bell for government. And this number, again, is not going to disappear. In fact, it will probably get worse, because the number we are talking about now, it doesn't even include the July lockdown and the loss of jobs as a result of the unrest. So, yeah, the quicker the government can step in to actually get things going, the better. And it's all about creating a business-friendly environment.
A quick last question. You mentioned the unrest. Treasury saying that July unrest looking to take maybe 0.7 to 0.9% off GDP. Does that fit broadly within what your estimates would be?
Yes, we've got a number of around about 0.5. Nevertheless, you know, it's a huge knock if you think it was only a week. But given the fact that we're overcoming a very low base, the global economy is still, you know, doing reasonably well despite the Delta variant. The year altogether for SA is not going to be too bad. You know, we started the year thinking it's going to be around about 3 and a bit. Then everyone put that up to about 4%, given a massive tailwind from mining. So we're probably back to about 3.5%, which is not a bad number, but that's from that low base. Yeah. And that brings me back to my point to say, but what happens next year and the year thereafter? If we can maintain the 3.5, that's great, but we're not. We're probably going to fall back to about 1.5, and then we're back to where we've been before COVID, and that's the real issue.
Yeah, 3.5 is great, but as you mentioned, it is that base effect. Martin Ackerman, Chief Economist, Citadel. A poll today on our LinkedIn and Twitter, talking that unemployment number, which is just, I mean, of a year with lots of depressing, that must be it. 34.4, a third of people can't find work. Is there any hope to get that rate markedly lower? You can have a vote, you can have your say on our Twitter and LinkedIn profiles. That's it for today. Our poll yesterday, we were talking ShopRite, that trading update, the MassMart deal with Derek Yensif and Rensburg. Both him and I hold ShopRite. We asked you quite simply, is it the best food retailer on the JSE? 2/3 of you said, without doubt, and that's where the camp I sit in. 10% said, no ways, and I'm curious as to who it would be. I suppose Pick and Pay, maybe. And then 1/4 was saying, maybe. You can have your vote, you can have your say on our LinkedIn and Twitter profiles, at MoneyWeb. This show is brought to you by StanLib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning, 6:30 a.m. on the MoneyWeb website and the app. Podcast available just after 7. Huge thanks to my team, Eddie, Kodora, Nicole, and Masekhla, to you for listening, my guests for their early morning contribution. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.